ابو مالك الاشعري and the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said will be a group of my nation, will be people of my people who will treat certain elements of Islam or certain things as halal. They will deal with it or utilize it or indulge in certain things as if it is halal. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said يستحلون, that means they will make halal. Okay, يستحلون, that they will make halal four things. Al-Hir, which is the private parts of a woman. Okay, it's called Al-Hir. Okay, that means like an example, we hear about temporary marriage, and we hear about marriage with the intention of divorce, and although the scholars have different opinions about it, or boyfriend and girlfriend, or they have different forms and things like this. So this is one thing that no, indeed, and with clear cut in Quran, that adultery and fornication is haram. Okay, so the Prophet says that will come people and they will indulge in zina as if it's halal. They will use harir, which is the silk, okay, which is haram. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he entered the market and he took the gold and the silk, and he proclaimed in the market that these two things, haram لرجال أمتي حلو لنسائها, that these two kind of material, gold and silk, is forbidden for men of my people and halal for women. Now, doesn't matter if the gold, if a ring or pin or what you call or a spoon that you're eating with, haram for a man to wear a ring. Doesn't matter what the purpose. Maybe somebody say, oh, this is because, understand, I have my name written in it and my social security number. I hang it in my around my neck. If I die, they will find me. Or some people wearing what they call it, so-called wedding ring, okay, which is imitation also for the Christian. If he is attending, he has the ring in the, I think, in the, I don't know, because I know that I don't keep too much track with this stuff. If he attended, he has the ring in the right hand, and if when he get married, he put it in the left hand, or the opposite, I'm not sure from it now. So, doesn't matter if a wedding ring or whatever is it, if it's gold, it's haram. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, will come time that people will wear the silk. What else? Said al-khamr, wine, intoxication. They will drink it. They may call it the different names, they maybe understand, use it, and they don't care. Or maybe they will say that it's halal. What the fourth said, al-ma'adif. Okay, adif, musical instruments. Okay, musical instruments. All of it haram. All of it haram. Now, if it's by computer or using it by hand or electronic or whatever it is, if it's what kind, so it doesn't matter what produce it. Is it jazz? Is it symphony? I don't know all this name, but all of it haram except a duff, with the exception of Eid and wedding and certain occasions. Okay? So, the istihlal also, it can be by using it or by producing it. Nowadays we see so-called Muslims, they produce music, they study music, they teach music, or they play music, or they listening to music, and or that you may see istihlal also in a form of establishing such an institution to deal with things like this, manufacture it to produce silk for men, or places for people like bars, which people will come and have relationship with women, does not have to be sleeping with them, but at least they will sit, drink, and talk, and touch, or dance with them. I don't know that some Muslims understand, even here, yeah, Allah knows best if they still or no. They used to have nightclubs, okay? So this is a form of istihlal, dealing with things as if it's halal. Have a nightclub, this is a form of making adultery halal. So all the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it haram, we are not supposed to deal with it, buying it, selling it, giving it as a gift, returning it, nothing. So this also from the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we can see it here and there, that he would now sleep on music, eat on music, study with music, do homework with music, everything became music. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his protection, that hopefully that they don't die also with music, would be a very serious matter. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also from the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had informed us that Islam will be more strong and or more stronger in the time of Umar. I will actually try to emphasize or focus in my class today about things which we can relate it to Muslims and non-Muslims, but nothing wrong we can mention about it. But this hadith also in collection of Bukhari, and if I'm not mistaken, volume 6, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a dream. And the people was gathering, and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, he went and he got the well of water, and he pulled a bucket full of water, one or two, and was witness in the way how he pulled it outside. But after this, Umar came to the same well of water, and he got a lot of water out of well. So he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what do you understand from this dream. So he said that the Islam will be more stronger and more flourish in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. One of the prophets of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know that all this he said it in his time life, in his lifetime. But this hadith, even in the beginning of his mission while he was in Mecca, and was a lot of persecution for Muslims in that time, and this hadith in also collection of Bukhari, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, excuse me, I think I maybe make this hadith, but inshallah, yeah, the hadith in Bukhari, yes, it is right, but this reported by Khabbab ibn al-Arad. شكونا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو متوسط ببردة في ظل الكعبة فقلنا له ألا تستنصر لنا ألا تدعو الله لنا. قال كان الرجل في من كان قبلكم أو كان الرجل في من قبلكم يحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيه في جاء المناشير فيجعل فيه أي في الحفرة فيجاء أي تحضر المناشير على رأسه فيشق باثنتين وما يصده ذلك عن دينه ويمشط بأمشاط الحديد ما دون لحمه من عصب أو عصب وما يصده ذلك عن دينه. والله لا يتمنى, هذا هو المقصد من الحديث, والله لا يتمنى الله هذا الأمر حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخاف إلا الله أو الست على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون. hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying it, and in the time of persecution in Mecca, in the beginning of his mission, and the Muslim was so weak, and they felt that they could not take it anymore. So one of them, which is Khabbab, may Allah be pleased with him, he came to the Prophet of Allah and said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, excuse me for a second." He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah, why don't ask Allah for a victory to give us help? Do you see what we're going through?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he told him that deep before you, they went through a lot of hardship and difficulty. They used to dig a hole in the ground for the believers. That means the kafir, they used to dig a hole in the ground, and they take one of the believers, they put him in the hole. And after this, they come with a saw, and they will cut them to pieces. But never this stops these people to hold fast to their religion. They used to come with combs made out of iron, hot, and they used to wipe their skins or pass it on their skin to such a degree that this metal hot comb used to reach between the bones. It's a form to show you how it used to be a serious persecution for the believers. But this did stop them or make them to turn away from the religion of Allah. This is teaches us that it's not because you are a Muslim that everything has to be fine with you. It's part of Islam, and part of you being a Muslim that you be tested. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if this happens to us at any time, that Allah to firm our feet and strengthen our iman that we don't run away. But a shahid in al-hadith, what I will try to get from this hadith as a prophet is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I swear by Allah that Allah will complete the mission of Islam." He said to Khabbab, which he was crying or complaining, he said, "I swear by Allah that Allah will complete this matter, this mission, and everything will be fine, everything will be safe for you people to such a degree that one of you can walk from Sana'a to Hadramaut, okay, he doesn't have any fear of anything except Allah or wolf to attack the sheep." Mustafa, انت ما علقتش الشريط ولا ايه؟ طيب كويس انت لسه صح يعني؟ في حد تاني موجود في الدرس؟ طيب انا عارف موعد الاذان قرب ان شاء الله بختم قريب يعني. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said Oh, Brother Sheikh is there? Everybody. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, Allah will complete this mission and everything will be different from what you see that day." And he said, to such a degree, a person can walk from Sana'a, which in Yemen, to Hadramaut, okay? And he has no fear. He is not scared that somebody will catch him or persecute him because he's a Muslim. And indeed, it happened, and even, mashallah, alhamdulillah, that Muslims everywhere today, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed the mission, and even the Muslims, they did not walk from Yemen to Hadramaut only, that the Khilafah of Islam has reached almost everywhere, and the Muslims were victorious. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to give them this, inshallah, again. Also from the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he informed us about this bid'ah that we see nowadays that is going to happen. Okay, in his time the religion was perfect, was complete. But the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about bid'ah will happen, innovation, things which is not from the Islam, things new will be added and attached to Islam. This is in Hadith Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتى المقبرة فقال السلام عليكم دار قوم مؤمنين وإن إن شاء الله وإن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون وددت فأظن أن كلمة الله سقطت سهوا أو قد أكون أنا مخطئ هنا ولكن وإن بكم لاحقون وإن إن شاء الله بكم لاحقون لازم أراجع إن شاء الله anyway the hadith in collection of Muslim جزء الأول volume 1 صفحة 218 ممكن مراجعته إن شاء الله وددت أن قد رأينا إخواننا قالوا أولسنا إخوانك يا رسول الله قال أنتم أصحابي إلى آخر الحديث The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went to the graveyard and he gives a salutation by saying السلام عليكم home of the believers by Allah's leave we'll be catching with you soon that it will be dead be going to be in your company soon I wish that I will remain alive to see my brothers The companion said to the Prophet, Are we not your brothers, Messenger of Allah? He said, You are my companion, but my brothers are those who will come after. Say, O Prophet of Allah, how you will know them? They will come after you. He didn't meet him. How are you going to acknowledge and recognize him? He said, let's imagine that a man, he have a lot of camel, a lot of horses. And these horses are white. Among dark horses, okay? The horses with a white forehead and a white ankle, okay, like a mark. Among other horses, which is, excuse me, among the other horses, which is dark, can he acknowledge them? Can he recognize them? He said, indeed, Prophet of Allah. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that my brothers, when they come in the day of judgment, they will be shining with light as a result of their wudu, their ablution. Okay, so this is the way how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would know us, inshallah, is the day of judgment. We'll be shining with light in our forehead, our feet, as a result of make wudu. And I'll be waiting for them by the river, by Al-Hawd. Now, Shahid bin al-Hadith. Now, the quotations that I want to bring it from the Hadith. Indeed, some men will be driven away from my river as a man drives away a lost camel that doesn't belong to him. I will call them, come, if he said to me, you don't know what they had changed after you. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he waited for us, inshallah, in the day of judgment by the river. And when we arrive there, the angels will come and separate some of those Muslims. They keep them away from drinking from the river of the Prophet. The Prophet will call them, why are you taking these people away? These my people, these my brothers, let them come. He said, no, you don't know. Those people, they change the religion after you. They made bid'ah, they made innovation. Everybody say, so what's wrong with that we do this? And what's wrong that they say this? What's wrong? It's nothing called what's wrong, what's right. What's wrong for you to stick with the religion? What is wrong for you to stick to the Sunnah? رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زيد فأقول سحقا سحقا. That means destruction, destruction. That means out of care. Since these people, they changed, they invented in the religion, and now the angel takes them away from my river, and this, their crimes, they did bid'ah. So, let them get lost. Let what happened to them, happen to them. Also from the things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said this hadith before I forget, the collection of Imam Muslim, and if I'm not mistaken, is in volume 1. From the Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about it, that Bilhavin, which was not in his time, said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس في المسجد. That this hadith in collection Abu Dawood, volume 2, and that narrated by Qatada and Anas, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the hour is not going to be established, that means the day of judgment is not going to take place, until people will compete with each other in concerning their masjid, showing off. Let's use this term, that they will be showing off about their masjid. Oh, I have a better masjid. The other person, he wants to make masjid much better, and the other person wants his center with a minaret, and the other person will make it with a minaret and a dome, and the other person will have, you understand, make it from outside with what you call marble or jaseen. صح؟ رخام ده اسمه ايه؟ ها؟ اتفضل. طيب. They will make it out of, I think it's, طب ان حد مش قاعد. ها؟ Anyway, you know, and all the things, so that will be in showing of their masjid. And the strange thing that, like I just heard, I feel very sorry for it, you understand? This masjid in, I think in Cincinnati, somebody told me that costing $5 million. Can you imagine a masjid cost $5 million? And my understanding, there is 7 or 9 masjid in this Cincinnati, Ohio. But what actually made very sad that I was talking to somebody last week, and I'm talking to him, they have to go prepare for my lecture for the conference. Say, what is the conference going to be? I say, in Cincinnati. Say, yeah, I saw the picture of this masjid, the Anderson Cincinnati, showed me, and was very sad. It's not only minaret, was kafir flag risen in front of it. A kafir flag risen of it. 3 flags. One of such country, I think the country that paid money, and he named the masjid after one of the princes, and one flag of a kafir, and one flag, I don't know what it is. So, anyway, so, we see nowadays that people compete with each other, not competing to be in the masjid, not competing with activity inside the masjid, but they compete in construction of the masjid. Allah has afia. And the silly things that are sometimes one of these minarets, the cost of it, it can feed almost a nation. We hear about the starvation in Somalia, and hear about this earthquake in different Muslim countries. And can anybody tell me what they use this minaret for? And they put thousands of dollars to make minarets. But indeed, the Prophet had told us, we can see it nowadays. I know it's time getting close to the Ikbama. I don't know the time in your place, is in my place, but I try to close. I still have about 1, 2, 3, 4, about five, but I may be close now. Let me give you one of the things maybe can be, inshallah, like the good news. Before it, let me mention about one of the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he said, خلافة النبوة 30 سنة ثم يأتي ثم يؤتي الله الملك أو ملكه من يشاء. This also collection of Abu Dawood that he told us that the خلافة of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم will be 30 years. And after this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the kingdom to whom he pleases. And we understand that the Khilafah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was for 30 years. The Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn Khattab and Uthman ibn Affan and Ali Ramallah wajah was 30 years. After this became like a kingdom with not a Khilafah after this. The Khilafah of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, which was 2 years, approximately 2 years and 3 months and 20. The Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, radiallahu anhu, was 10 years and 6 months and 4 days. And the Khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan was 11 years and 11 years and 11 months and 8 days. And the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, 4 years and 10 months. And after this came Al-Hasan ibn Ali radiallahu anhu, and after this became the Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, and became kingdoms after this, and was no more Khilafah according to the Khilafah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me close with, inshallah, some good news. The prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the meaning is, this hadith in collection Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi, reported by Abu Huraira, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna allaha yab'athu lihadihi al-umma ala ra'si kulli ma'ati sana man yujadidu laha dinaha. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed Allah will raise for this nation who will renew the religion for them in every 100 years, the beginning of every 100 years. Okay, Ra's Mi'atana, the Mi'atana, which is a century. Ra'saha does not mean have to be exactly an hour. It can be like, you understand, the century is 100 years, and we're talking about Hijra year. So it can be maybe a year, it can be exactly a year after or a year before. That every 100 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be will make a scholar, will make a learned scholars who know and they practice will be like the leader of a movement that will come every year to revive this deed, to enrich and strengthen and remove the dust that has took over this religion. Does not mean that somebody will come with a new revelation. We understand that there's no revelation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's not a person who will come with a new method, new teaching, new anything, but will come and encourage the people to go back to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reminding them about their obligation, their duties, by acting upon this knowledge. And alhamdulillah, anybody who read the Islamic history and see those people, and inshallah we're looking forward to see soon somebody whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the cause to revive this religion and make well maintained and will establish soon, Allah. I hope and I pray by this, inshallah, that we finish that part of the prophecies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also this is the last part. I hope that we benefit something from the bus, that we indeed trust this information that is given to us from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is a part of understanding the Shahada, that in Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that we trust all the information he gives to us. And hopefully that we prepare ourselves to be avoiding things which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that is going to happen, which is bad. And that prepare ourselves to do the things that they will be having and he should be part of it. That we can utilize this also for giving the da'wah and showing the people how that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah had revealed to him, whom Allah had chosen him, selected him, make him his beloved and his messenger, had informed him about things which will take place, and indeed some of it already took place and some is already in the way. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his forgiveness for me and you. And inshallah, if anybody have any correction, any comments, I had asked last week for you to make a homework. If anybody brought any information about the topic, please collect it, give it to Brother Mustafa. Maybe we utilize it, inshallah, and will be a prize for this person did homework, specifically did homework. I will ask your pardon, inshallah, for the inconvenience, and maybe we can delay it. The questions, inshallah, for next week, if I'm there, inshallah, which I pray that I'll be there, be with the Muslims, and I will answer, inshallah, any misunderstanding or any correction. قُلُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. If there is anything that it has to be said now, I don't mind to hear it. If not, inshallah, Brother Yassin, if you have any important business for the masjid, please pick up the telephone and we can talk for a couple of minutes before I head back. My salam to all the Muslims in Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina. May Allah bless you all and make dua for me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.